Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 5th of May, recording at 9:30 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here, not only today, but also yesterday, because in the UK, we were closed for the May bank holiday. Now, first, yesterday, Asia saw some absolutely stunning gains in stock markets. I mean, really very powerful moves by India. China was strong. Singapore was very, they were pretty well all strong. Taiwan had surged again. Thailand, which had been a little bit of a wallflower until the last week, was very strong. Now, that inspired the European markets, which were all open. I think the only one that wasn't was the UK. And it also inspired Wall Street, which had a late, and what do I mean late? I mean the last 3 to 5 minutes surge yesterday. Now, today, the response was a little bit more muted. Asia was steady overall, not really giving up much, and if anything, extending those gains slightly. European stock market was mixed, largely because Wall Street was a little bit lower for the most part. Wall Street pared back those declines at the close, and so it closed with just tiny, tiny losses. The biggest one was just over 0.5% for the NASDAQ Composite Index. Now, elsewhere, long-dated government bonds have been generally soft against the background of the strong stock markets. No surprise there. The commodity markets saw some pretty good gains yesterday. Although gold gave up some of it near the close, silver was stronger. And that was the case again today. For instance, gold rallied up to just over $916 at one stage before actually closing down on the day. It's currently $897. So it's just ranging around this $900 dollar level. Silver is stronger. At 13.33 as I speak in after-hours trading, but it has been 30 cents higher, nearly 30 cents higher as well. And platinum had a modest gain in here today, again also closing off its highs. Energy was a little bit easier, although it has been quite firm recently, and industrial metals had been quite strong yesterday. Copper gave up some ground today. The others had modest gains. And the grain and bean complex was quite firm yesterday, as were most soft commodities. They had a sort of a mixed performance here today. Okay. So what's going on here overall with these markets? Well, first thing I would say is that in terms of stock markets, this has been, well, to state the obvious, this has been an absolutely stellar performance in its ninth consecutive week on the upside, or at least eight for some of the lagging markets. So it's very, very impressive. Yesterday's gains were, I think, clear evidence of a short-term overextension developing. Now, that's something I've said before, and when markets go on a bender in either direction, and this has been the most persistent rally that we have seen for a very, very long time. Indeed, last month was, well, you had to go back quite a few years to see gains of as big percentage moves on the upside for many markets, and not least Wall Street, which has really been one of the global laggards since the bottoming out process started back in late October and November of last year. Okay, well, The action you will have seen, or can see easily on a look at the daily charts, the action has become a bit more choppy recently. So that suggests, or indicates, more than suggests, it does indicate that we're getting more two-way activity. And a pickup in the volatility does really suggest to me that this excellent rally is getting long in the tooth. Now, that means that it is likely to spill over into a reaction and consolidation before much longer. That's not going to be more than a pause in consolidation, in my view, because the overall action is still extremely impressive. It is not at all reminiscent of bear market technical rally action, although a number of people continue to say just that. And the fact that they do so tells us that there's still a huge amount of institutional cash on the sidelines. Now, my own... sorry, I'm just going to take the headset off and have a quick cough. Okay. My own feeling is that really this incredibly impressive rally just draws a line under the hypothesis that we put forward first in late October, that action was, of course, climactic, and therefore the beginning of the end for the bear market. And the beginning of the end for the bear market is the beginning of the recovery for the next bull market. And just to put that in context, really, that the beginning of the end means of the bear means that the base building process, which precedes any bull market, that bottoming out ranging base building process, which I describe as the beginning of the bull market, and that eventually supports sustainable upward trends. Well, we see sustainable upward trends in the leaders. Those, fortunately, are mainly in fuller money themes, led by emerging Asia, and also by the resources markets of South America. And other resources markets have come on quite strongly recently. The laggards among global stock markets are the OECD markets, for the most part, and plus the Eastern European emerging markets. But even those, even the laggards, have done so well that the action we've seen, as I say, is just not consistent with an ongoing bear market. And I therefore feel that downside risk is almost certainly going to be limited to partial retracements of the gains and a consolidation, which could easily, once we enter that phase, could easily last for a number of weeks to a few months. But that will also fuel renewed strength. And you know that we show a lot of those 200-day or 40-week moving averages on the weekly charts. And the first forecast, again, going back to last October and November, would be that we would see a ranging reversion to the mean, most likely base formation development, that would be led by fuller money themes. And we have certainly seen that. And some of those stock market moving averages will be turning upwards as we get closer to or well into June, because the steepest part of the decline will be coming out of the equation. So overall, I say the technical action is really quite favorable. Now, subscribers can be forgiven for saying, well, wait a minute, what about all these people saying it's just a bear market rally? And, well, first it was described by many as just a dead cat bounce, Well, some bounce is my riposte to that. It had the persistence and consistency that we mentioned early on would be the hallmark of a really good rally, not just a bear market short covering brief short covering bounce. Although those can be quite strong, as you know, but this has been stronger than what we've seen previously. It's broken progressions of rising, of declining highs, rather. I'll say that again. It's been stronger than earlier rallies, and it has broken the progressions of lower highs. And that's really very significant because lower highs really are what define a downward trend. Now, we have also discussed a lengthy convalescence for stock markets. That means that we get a number of those type 3 ranging base formations as described at the chart seminar. That was always predictable because this has been a financial crisis, and that's putting it mildly. It's been a credit insolvency crisis, and therefore it was much more likely to produce a number of type 3 base formations. Particularly for the OECD markets, which were at the epicenter of the credit and insolvency crisis. Latin American resources markets and Chinese emerging markets, which were not involved in all the subprime problems, have done infinitely better. And saw smaller bases before going straight into their overall upward trends. Early leaders are usually medium-term and even latter-stage leaders, but then and before eventually peaking out before the laggards, which get a late catch-up run. So that's the way the script seems to be unfolding here. And again, in answer to all those people who say, well, what about all the dreadful economic environment? We don't yet have any confirmation that the recession is over. No, we don't. But we do see some evidence that conditions are not as bad as the most draconian forecasts, which, of course, is what the stock market was, what some of the stock markets were forecasting, including Wall Street. Really as recently as early March. So the evidence is not as dire as all that. And Owen and I have mentioned on a number of occasions that what governments were doing was nothing less than the greatest attempted asset reflation in history, in human history. So it wasn't just the US, it was pretty well all governments involved in this massive quantitative easing, low interest rate, money printing, asset reflation. Now, the naysayers always said, well, banks won't lend and customers and the public are unwilling to buy. Well, sure, they're shell-shocked. But that money is going to go somewhere, and the inflation that it's likely to produce is not in manufactured goods, which remains such a competitive field, but in asset markets. So I think that's the environment that we're in. I think it will be a benign environment for the most part for global stock markets, at least until central banks embark on a tightening process. Now, I don't know when that will be. I hope it's well down the road, but we just don't know. No one can know when that will actually be. But this is still a very favorable environment overall, albeit we are overextended in the short term. And a bit of a mantra at ours, of ours here at Fuller Money is don't pay up. You'll get plenty of reactions along the way. And I think that's the case this time as well. Even in the better bull markets, we do see plenty of medium-term reactions, and we get a number of reactions, and we get several medium-term corrections lasting for a month or more. And I would not expect this to be any different. And I think usually in the earlier stages of a new bull market advance, which and most people are in denial, which reflects the size of their cash positions. And these are still quite high, but the action tends to be a little bit more choppy because there's more uncertainty. People are quicker to take profits, and we also have some continued short selling, or more than we do when we get into the middle to latter stages of a bull trend cycle. So this is still a very favorable environment here overall, despite the weak economic data overall. Now, my hunch, and I think at Fuller Money we had been among the most cautious people in terms of the overall economic outlook, but I think it's now pretty well refutable that some evidence of a slowing down in the economic deterioration and also an improvement in some areas is apparent. If we get a very weak recovery, that will cause problems for stock markets as a recovery persists. But let's deal with that when we get there. My hunch is that some economies will surprise in terms of their upside vigor and in terms of GDP growth, and others will inevitably disappoint. And most of the disappointments are likely to come from OECD countries. What else to mention? Long-dated government bonds. I think a reaction and consolidation in global stock markets might well provide one of the last opportunities to short long-dated government bonds when prices are a bit firmer than they are today. In other words, yields a bit lower. Precious metals, well, a lot of to-ing and fro-ing taking place here quite clearly. I was very pleased to see silver bounce vigorously from the $12 level once again. That action is looking really quite positive, tempered only by the fact that gold is lagging in here and has not been able to sustain a move back above the $900 level. Personally, I think that's only a matter of time, and I'm happy to continue with a precious metals position. And I actually increased my platinum position. I was stopped out of much of my platinum position last week at slightly better than break-even stops, and I increased it a little bit yesterday evening. And crude oil, very much, or the technical action is very much in line with the base building development that we see for industrial metals, although it hasn't progressed quite so far. The theme now and in the future, I suggest, is going to be asset price reflation, and that's going to be led by stock markets and commodity markets, with house prices lagging, and that the inflationary pressures, such as they are, will be, as I say, very much in this in terms of stock markets and also commodity markets. But that's not a problem at this stage. Indeed, governments will be heartened to see this, and I think traders and investors should be heartened to see it, because most of these markets are still quite cheap, and that provides us with opportunities going forward. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you here at the end of this broadcast.